This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Going to talk briefly about audits here. Some crazy tranny mom is out there running her mouth. Jasmine Crockett is a deranged racist freak. The acting director of the Secret Service got in a shouting match with Pat Fallon of Congress today. All that and so much more is to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's address this audit thing. Someone brought up the voice guy left a voicemail about the audit. Who does the auditing? Well, the government audits itself. That's the most amazing part about this. Our debt, the government buys the government debt. And it's just, it's become a self-eating ice cream cone. It's what the whole thing is. The government audits itself. Now, as I said before, I am not an auditor, and I would be the worst auditor in the world. It takes a very specific kind of person to be an auditor. Auditors, they have to be detailed people. Again, my wife, Aubrey, is an auditor. They have to be detail freaks. Whereas me, I find details to be annoying. I don't worry about things like details. I think they're boring, but they do matter. They just don't matter to me, right? So she used to do, her last real job was internal auditing. She would, obviously, internal auditing makes all the sense in the world if you understand what I'm talking about. You work for a big company like Coca-Cola, and you're their internal auditor where, hey, we want you to go check out the sales department. And she had to go walk in. She didn't work for Coke. It's just an example. But she had to walk into the sales department of Coke and say, okay, open up all the books. We're going to figure out what's going on over here. Some money's going missing. But in all the times I talked to her about auditing, this is what's going to drive you crazy about the Pentagon. All the times I talked to her, there was never, ever, that I can remember, ever, a dollar that simply went missing. Oh, it went somewhere. And that stuff, especially in this day and age, because of how computerized everything is, all that stuff is traceable. Dollars don't disappear. That doesn't happen. If an audit is failed, there is a reason. And look, there are possibly innocent explanations. There's not for the Pentagon, but there are possibly innocent explanations. Maybe this report didn't get filed. Maybe this amount, which was supposed to be fired under missiles, instead got fired under bombs. Like, it's a ham-fisted example, but you get what I'm saying. But when you fail 7 audits in a row, it's because people were stealing large amounts of money. Large amounts of money. If you work for Coca-Cola and the sales department, 1 year, there's a $25,000 discrepancy. Now, for a company the size of Coca-Cola, $25,000 would be nothing. So if you find that it's a one-off $25,000, you'd send in the internal auditor and you would assume, okay, it was some kind of an accounting error, something got placed in the wrong account with the wrong label. If you are with Coca-Cola and you open up the books and you find out the sales department has misplaced $2.5 million for 6 straight years in a row, someone's stealing. You probably send in your auditor along with a law enforcement officer, because at the back end of that auditor, someone's getting arrested. Why? Why are senators like Joni Ernst just not comfortable? I mean, we have to clear the allegations. I just don't know about Pete Hegseth.
Sounds to me as if the hearing will be critical for his nomination. Am I right about that?
I think you are right. I think for a number of our senators, they want to make sure that any allegations have been cleared. And that's why we have to have a very thorough vetting process. And that's why I was happy to sit down with Pete and have that conversation with him yesterday. So again, all I will say at this time is that we did have a very thorough discussion over a number of those issues. And the vetting will continue, I am certain, through the next month or so until we approach that hearing date.
And he has some.
Those Pentagon dollars didn't disappear. It's a large, extremely corrupt industry with vast quantities of money going places they shouldn't go. They didn't disappear. Someone received money they shouldn't have. There's a bunch of swampiness to go around. And again, certain segments of the GOP Senate, they view their job as protecting that scam, not cleaning it up. You want them to clean it up. I want them to clean it up. That's not how they see themselves at all. All right, let's move off of this for now because I have to play this amazing, amazing, amazing exchange. I'll play you a couple before I get to the doozy. The acting Secret Service Director, Roe, he had to testify in front of Congress today. Here's how a lot of it
July
went.
July 13th was a failure of the Secret Service to adequately secure the Butler Farm Show site and protect President-elect Trump. That abject failure underscored critical gaps in Secret Service operations, and I recognize that we did not meet the expectations of the American public, Congress, and our protectees. And they rightly have that idea based on how we performed. President-elect Trump was wounded. A cowardly and despicable act killed one person and critically injured two others. And I join you and all Americans in condemning the horrific assault on President-elect Trump, Corey Comparator, James Copenhaver, and David Dutch. And I extend my deepest sympathies to the Comparator family.
Okay, that was his opening speech. Mark Green went after him a little bit.
You know, it seems almost to me like it was lackadaisical. I mean, it's hard to fathom that someone would say, we don't need to cover this. You know, and the communications issues with the local law enforcement, I asked the question when they came before the committee recently, when everybody showed up on the day, was there a check-in? And there were law enforcement agencies that had never even talked to Secret Service that day. I mean, these are really basic things. And you would think they would know to do those kinds of things. So it speaks of an apathy or complacency that is really unacceptable in an organization like the Secret Service. One of my questions to you is, you know, the level of the failure. It seems...
Yeah, okay, lackadaisical. Did I ever tell you about when we were trying to teach the Iraqis how to do physical training, PT? Ever tell you this story? So we were in Najaf in Iraq, and they started bringing in Iraqis for us to train. It was a long slog, let me just put it this way. And there are guys in Afghanistan who can share similar stories, but they would bring in these units of Iraqis, these young Iraqi males, and we would have to train them. Hey, let's get them strong. Let's do push-ups. You should see somebody who's never done physical exercise in their life try to pull off a jumping jack. Jumping jack's a very simple thing. Really, anybody can do it. You would think that, right? You would think that. I would think that. Every man, woman, child listening to me could do a jumping jack right now. Maybe you're doing them in your living room as you listen to the sound of my voice. That'd be good. They're good for you, kids. Anyway, do you understand that things that are normal culturally aren't normal everywhere? Meaning, when it comes to the Secret Service, you would think that just being labeled the Secret Service would grant you some sort of professionalism and know-how. But over a long enough period of time and neglect, with enough DEI hires, enough politicization of the Secret Service, you will eventually find yourself in a culture where you have agents who can't holster their weapons, who don't look at a rooftop 148 yards away from the President of the United States of America and think that maybe that's a place where you should put someone because it looks like the perfect sniper's nest to blow somebody's head off. There is a chance that the rot within so many of these government agencies is so pervasive, they're now the Iraqis that can't do jumping jacks anymore. These things don't get passed along by osmosis. Either you are trained properly or you don't know what you're doing. We have allowed rot to seep into this government for long enough that now we can't tell what's nefarious and what's neglect. Now, all that was the lead up to the grand finale of the Secret Service director's testimony today. And you are going to want to hang on for this. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to the acting Secret Service director. So Pat Fallon is a representative from here in Texas. Actually, no Pat, but he's a rep from here in Texas. And look, this is long. It's a couple minutes long. I'm not even sure when I'm going to step in. I'm sure I'll step in at one point in time, but the performance from the acting Secret Service director is something I couldn't stop watching. It's almost seemed really rehearsed. So I want you to listen. Just listen.
Were you the special agent in charge of the detail that day?
Actually, let me address this. Could you please, staff, leave that one up with the circle around me. Thank you. So actually, Congressman, what you're not seeing is the sack of the detail off out of the picture's view. And that is the day where we remember the more than 3,000 people that have died on 9/11. I actually responded to Ground Zero. I was there going through the ashes of the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. I was there at Freshkills.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you,
Congressman.
Were you the special agent in charge?
To show respect for a Secret Service member that died on 9/11.
Oh, that you're trying to be.
Do not invoke 9/11 for political purposes.
Oh, I'm not. I'm invoking this.
You are, sir. Gentlemen, no, you are out of line.
Gentlemen, I would like to ask him a question.
Please.
You are out of line,
Congressman. Don't try to bully me. Order. I am an elected member of Congress, and I'm asking you a serious question, and you are playing politics.
I am a public servant who has served this nation, and
you
spent
won't
time
answer the question
on our day, on our country's darkest day.
Committee will come to order.
I should note, I'm going to let them keep yelling at each other here in a moment. This is why. Just listen. If you ever have any desire for any career in media or something like that, if you want to do podcasts or radio or TV, I bless you to it. Go for it. It's a blast. Total fun if you don't take yourself too seriously. But remember, we can't hear you if you're arguing over each other. Even when you're arguing, you have to take turns. It drives me crazy when I see this on TV, when I hear this on the radio. You're both shouting, and the listener can't make out a single word anybody say. All we hear is laugh, I'm a public servant.
Committee will come to order.
I'm asking you serious questions for the American people, and they're very simple. They're not trick questions. Were you the special agent in charge that day?
No, I wasn't. I was there representing the United States Secret Service, sir.
Mr. Fallon, your time's expired.
It did not affect protective operations.
You know why you were there? Because you wanted to be visible, because you are listening for this
job. I was there to pay respect for a foreign member of this agency.
You endangered President Biden's life,
Congressman.
Vice President Harris's life, because you put those agents out of position.
Mr. Chairman.
Did you have a radio with you?
Mr. Fallon, your time has expired.
Mr. No, I did, sir, and you are out of line.
Mr. Chairman.
I just want the truth. That's all I could think of when I was saying that. That's a sweet movie, A Few Good Men. Chris, have you seen that movie, A Few Good Men? You haven't? I figured you had. There's lawyers in it. It's about lawyers and stuff. What, Chris? What? Isn't Tom Cruise the bad guy? Yes, he's the bad guy. Jack Nicholson's the good guy in that movie. People just have it all mixed up and wrong. Dr. Jesse, I know it's not Friday, but I need help understanding what left and right means. I always understood historical definition of right to be constitutionalists and left to be self-serving. Over Thanksgiving, I realized my university-educated daughter sees the right as dogmatic racists like Nazis. How did the definition of right ever come to include German National Socialists? Thanks, do not use my name. Okay. One, another reminder to everybody. Be very careful where you send your sons after high school. Their brains are still developing. Very, very careful. however careful you are with your sons, you need to be about 10 times as careful with your daughters, because young ladies turn communists when they go to college. They are too susceptible to social contagions. Young women have an inclination to be motherly and nice, and communists have figured out how to use that instinct to turn them into vile little communists. Be careful with your baby girl. Be very, very careful. All right? That's one. Two. First, the distinction of left versus right. It's very, very simple that people have tried to complicate on purpose. We'll get to the German national. Why do they compare you to Nazis thing here in a moment? But first, left. Left means bigger government, less freedom, more authoritarian. That is what left means. Right doesn't necessarily mean constitutionalists, although you would probably put them in that group. Right means less government, more freedom. How authoritarian is your society? How free is your society? That will determine where you are on the left-right scale. It is actually not a value system beyond that. It's the size of your government and how free the individual is in your society. For instance, we here in the United States of America, for the most part, it used to be absolute, but of course the commies have destroyed this now. We used to be able, and really still are, to criticize powerful people in our government. I can sit here right now behind this microphone and say, Joe Biden's a piece of crap. And Joe Biden is a piece of crap. But Joe Biden is the president of the United States of America. For me to have the freedom to say that without the Secret Service coming in here and pulling my fingernails out is a freedom we take for granted, because it's not like that in many, many, many parts of the world. Why? Because we're further right on that line, and government has limits on its authority. And I and you, we are free to say Joe Biden is a piece of crap. Now, as to why Nazi is always used, why did your daughter come home from college and call Republicans and you Nazis? That's a longer story we'll get into in just a moment. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Talk a little bit of COVID here in just a second, believe it or not. And we're going to talk about the activism we see being paid and emails and voicemails. But I did want to address this, something we've talked about before. Why is it the left has equated Republicanism with Nazism when the Nazis were National Socialists and things like that? Well, first, the left are communists, and they've always been either communist or communist adjacent. It's important you understand that, and they have known that. This is not something new. FDR, way back in the day, was having to withstand accusations of being a socialist and a communist, because frankly, he was. So this is not new. The American public, people who understand freedom, the Constitution, people who understand what it means to have the government control things, they see the things Democrats stand for when Democrats stand for big government and controlling things, and they rightly see it as definitely leaning towards communism. Okay, well, remember, the average Democrat knows that about themselves, too. Yeah, they'll deny it all day long. I'm not a communist. That's crazy. But they understand. I mean, I'm a little bit of one, maybe not a total one, but they understand that they are. Okay, so you get that. You have to accept that. Once you accept that they know, even if they're not full-blown communists, they're communist adjacent. Well, who attacked the Soviet Union during World War II? It was the Nazis. Germany. It was the Nazis. The Nazis are responsible for 20 million Soviet deaths, 20 million plus. No one knows the exact number. You read a million books, you'll get a million different numbers, but it's millions and millions and millions and millions of them. And it's deeper than that. Hitler and the Nazis helped provide Franco in Spain weapons and equipment. Weapons and equipment he used to defeat the communists in the Spanish Civil War. Now, Franco was not a Nazi, and Franco, after that, really screwed Hitler over because he decided to sit out World War II. He's like, oh, thanks for the weapons. By the way, I'm neutral. Good luck in your war. Franco just said no. But the Nazis helped provide the equipment Franco needed to win that. Now, fast forward to America today, because there's a lot that goes on in between those times, but fast forward to America today. There are a couple big reasons why your little daughter went off to college and now comes home and calls you a Nazi for wearing your MAGA hat. One, historically, it was the Nazis who killed the most communists. It just was. The Nazis killed the most communists, so that is their more traditional enemy. Think about it like, what's the traditional enemy around the house of a dog? A cat. Dogs and cats. It's a traditional enemy. The dog and the cat are going to fight. Traditionally, if you're a communist, if you're an American Democrat, traditionally, Nazis are thought of as your ancient traditional enemy. So they take Republican opposition to them and just say, well, they must be Nazis. Of course, that's ridiculous. You have nothing to do with Nazism. At least I hope you don't. And I certainly don't. But that's the connection they're going to make. That's one. Two. Everything with these people, because communism itself in practice is so horrific and such a disaster and destroys so many things and wipes out so many lives, they can't go with what reality is. Let me explain it in this way. I've used this example before. It's an old law phrase that lawyer friends, every lawyer friend of mine knows this. If you have the truth, pound the truth in a case, if you're arguing a case. If you have the facts, pound the facts. If you don't have either of those things, pound the table, make some noise. Well, I can sit here, if I was to present you with a free market where government was small and you were free, you and I, we could sit and go through this whole thing and we could lay out the tangible things that were going to make your life better, more affordable, better, just all around better, more opportunities for you and your kids. It would be very, very tangible. But the American communist, he doesn't have that ability. Every one of his plans will make your life worse. And he knows that. Remember, he's fighting a revolution. He knows that. So what do you do? If your plans suck, if your plans are horrible, what do you do? You appeal to people's emotions. Everything becomes an emotional reaction. When you're arguing with your liberal Aunt Peggy or the daughter you sent off to college, let me ask you, does she make logical arguments back to you, or does she make a bunch of nonsensical emotional statements back to you? I already know the answer. I have these people in my life too. They'll immediately start calling names, or they'll lie, or it'll be something crazy like, you just want kids at the border to die. It doesn't make any sense. Why do they do those things? Because it's an emotional argument, and the communists have figured out how to appeal to their emotions. So why Nazi? Why are you called a Nazi? When you're not a Nazi, that's not who you are at all. Why? The word Nazi creates a visceral emotional response in most people because Nazis were such evil, demonic, devil-worshipping scumbags. So the second you start to label someone a Nazi, they will be on the defensive. If you can convince yourself that the person you're fighting is a Nazi, you will fight to the death to fight against a Nazi. The communist calls you a Nazi because it gives his people permission in their mind to do whatever they want to you, because you can do whatever you want to a Nazi and it's okay because he's a Nazi. That's why they love Nazi. There's the historical part of it and there's the emotional part of it. It creates an emotion in you. Listening to these COVID tyrants creates an emotion in me. Peter Hotez was one of the most despicable human beings in the country during COVID. Wrong about everything, fear-mongered over everything. He's on TV calling out an interesting date where he thinks we may get some new viruses.
We have some big picture stuff coming down the pike starting on January 21st. Mr. Bloomberg mentioned H5.
Now, hold on a minute. I'll restart that again. He's about to lay out what's coming down the pike. But what was that date? Hey, Chris, Corey, what was it? January 21st. Huh. Now, I'm a little shady, a little hazy, I mean, on my politics. What is the day that Donald Trump gets sworn in as president? Chris, Corey, January 20th. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's wild. These viruses, just January 21st, they're going to get here. It's crazy how he knows that.
We have some big picture stuff coming down the pike starting on January 21st. Mr. Bloomberg mentioned H5N1. That I'm really worried about. It's all over wild birds on the western part of the United States and going up in the north. It's getting into the poultry. We're seeing sporadic human cases, no human-to-human transmission yet, but that could happen. It's in the cattle. It's in the milk. And that's just the beginning. We have another major coronavirus likely brewing in Asia. We've had SARS in 2002, SARS-2, COVID-19 in 2019. And we know these viruses are jumping from bats to people thousands of times a year. But there's still more. We know that we have a big problem with mosquito-transmitted viruses all along the Gulf Coast, where I am here in Texas. So we're expecting dengue and possibly Zika virus coming back, or Apuche virus, maybe even yellow fever. And there's more. Then we have all this sharp rise in vaccine-preventable diseases going up because of, in part, the anti-vaccine activism that's so prominent right now. We have a fivefold rise in pertussis cases, whooping cough over the last year, 15 measles.
Yeah, you got it. Weird. All these things, even whooping cough, coming down the pike on January 21st. They do have a plan, and they're going to try to implement it. Let's talk about that plan briefly, and then we'll do some COVID stuff before we get back to emails. Before we do that, talk about Rough Greens, because we got this email. I want to do this email. Hey, Jesse. Rough Greens, do they have any different flavors? Seriously, do they have Meow Greens? He says, yes. Rough Greens, it absolutely exploded as people have seen the difference it makes when you actually give your dog nutrition. It's a nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. You sprinkle it on your dog's food, and you will see differences in your dog. Their coat alone, you will see a difference. Give your dog real nutrition. Well, it got to be such a huge hit, and I'm not surprised about that, they created Meow Greens now, too. Do you want a free Jumpstart trial bag? Rough Greens or Meow Greens? Go get a free bag. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Keep that pet you love alive longer. Rough Greens. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Reminding you, you can email the show your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. In fact, you need to. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. So, on to the COVID stuff. COVID Select Subcommittee said science never justified prolonged school closures. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I just want to remind you that this country, a lot of people did very, very evil things during COVID, and none of it was okay, and none of it was justified, and none of it was we just didn't know. No, you don't get to find a cockroach in your house and light the entire house on fire, and then as you're standing in the street looking at the smoldering remains of your home, look around and say, well, no one knew what to do. No, no. When you don't know what to do, you don't destroy lives. That's not the default. You can wait. You can gather data. You can figure something out. But you don't just immediately light the house on fire and then try to get rid of your guilt afterwards by saying, well, nobody knew. Nope, absolutely not. And that brings me to the plan. You already heard Peter Hotez. What date are all these viruses coming?
We have some big picture stuff coming down the pike starting on January 21st.
one day after Trump gets into office. I believe something. We will see. But I believe they're going to try to come at Trump with another disease, with another virus, because it worked on him last time. Now, I think Donald Trump, by all appearances, has learned a lot, and I don't know that it will work on him this time. But last time, remember what they did. Donald Trump had deregulated the economy. He had secured the border, and we had an economy that was going gangbusters. And they absolutely abused him during COVID. And he allowed himself to be abused and not making any excuses for him. Handed the country over to this little tyrant.
You don't practice anymore, do you?
I don't. No.
Why?
A number of complicated reasons.
Go on.
First of all, I think my own personal ethics on life are, I think, enough to keep me going on the right path. And I think that there are enough negative aspects about the organizational church.
Handed the country over to that guy. It worked last time. They destroyed his economy. They got all mail-in ballots. They got him to hand the country over to these little tyrants, and he never got control of things again. I bet you money they're going to try again. I don't think they'll be successful. I don't think they'll be successful, I should say. His pick for Surgeon General, this Dr. Janet, was one of the worst COVID tyrants out there, so maybe it will work again. I don't know. I don't think it will, though, because he's had other great medical picks like Jay Bhattacharya and people like that, Marty McCary. He's got really great medical people now instead of little tyrants like this. I bet you money they're going to try to get him again with that. Bet you they are. Anyway, let's do some voicemails.
Hey, Jesse. Yeah, the word you're looking for to describe your style is blunt. And I realize that Chris probably couldn't help you with that because that has a whole different meaning for him, given his affinity for the devil's lettuce. Mm-hmm. But that's what you're looking for. The word is blunt to describe your style of speaking.
See, Chris? That's what I am. Blunt. Blunt. What? Something you're familiar with. Oh, proud Navy Oracle. I have served under 10 different SecDefs and 5 interim SecDefs. This guy's had a long career. I can count on one finger the number of them that anyone really cared about, and that was because of his reputation. I also didn't really pay much attention until the current one. He quite obviously hates everyone in the military and has personally impacted me and my family with his COVID policy. I got it under duress, and my wife managed to avoid it, but it cost her. For the first time that I can recall, I'm actually paying attention to who is being nominated because we need a change. I don't need a SecDef that gets all in the weeds, but a focus back on what matters would be a nice change. I get so many emails from guys who are desperate to have a change of direction. I am desperate to have a change of direction. At least, look, not every senator is against us. Rick Scott sounds good.
So I just had a great meeting with Pete, the next Secretary of Defense. I'll tell you why I support him. I admire people that are willing to put on the uniform and lead troops in a battle. I'm very proud of my father. He's one of 3,000 people that did all 4 combat jumps with AC and Air Award, and after that fought in the Battle of the Bulge. I'm very proud of him. Same way I'm proud of Pete. There's not a lot of Americans that have been willing to put on the uniform and have actually led troops in battle and brought them back safely and knows people that lost their lives, knows people that are injured. When he goes to the Department of Defense, he'll walk in with the mentality that he's going to take care of our warfighters. He's going to make sure they have the right equipment and they're not put in harm's way when they shouldn't be put in harm's way. He's not going to support forever wars. He's not going to support going into battle where we don't even have a plan. So I think he's going to do a great job. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure he's confirmed as the Secretary of Defense. I think we all have to really appreciate the people that are willing to put on the uniform and defend the freedom of this country.
Maybe he's going to get through. I will tell you, if I had to handicap this, I bet you we are going to get him through because of the outrage right now, because of the outcry. And I'll tell you something, I guarantee you Trump knows. We already lost Gates. Maybe you hated Gates, whatever, I don't care. But we already had one of Trump's picks get shot down by the Senate. That's why Gates went down. Trump absolutely, positively cannot afford to allow the Senate to torpedo another one, because they are going to come for every single one of these people. The fact that they bounced Matt Gaetz already has these people salivating. They're already ready to go after the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And they will do so. If you show weakness again on this one, we are finished. He has to, meaning Donald Trump, has to make this the public fight to the point of public threats of U.S. senators with primary challenges. It is that important that this thing gets through, if for no other reason than you can't let the swamp win. All right. We have this crazy racist congresswoman from Texas, Jasmine Crockett. I think I love her. And a mother of some tranny kid. I don't love her. And emails and a lot of paid for political protests and more next hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.